Amen. Always amazed at how the body of Christ ministers to itself, and even as something as simple as praying over the offering, how that's the part of the body that's speaking and ministering. And I don't know if you heard the grace and the love and the compassion in that prayer, but man, it was there. And so, you know, I had a great mom, and I had not a great dad, but I had a great mom. So it's a little far-fetched to me to understand that not all moms are great, but I do know that, and I've met people that did not have great moms, and my heart would just hurt for you today, because I can't imagine not having a mom. I wanted to pray for Ozzy this morning. So Ozzy, if you'd come up. Ozzy got pushed a little bit at school and somehow broke his arm in two different places. And I just thought it'd be great if we just pray for him, just the way the scripture says. And so we're just going to anoint him with oil. And if you would, just extend your hand towards him. We thank the Lord for Ozzy. This is just symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Father God, I just pray, Lord, for my little brother. I ask, Lord, that you would touch him and heal his body. I pray, Father, Lord, one day there was 10 lepers that came to you, and Lord, you told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they went, every one of them was healed. But one of them returned to give you thanks. And your word declares that he was made whole. So Lord, I don't pray just that you heal his body, but I pray that you make him whole. In Jesus' name, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father, touch every part of my little brother and heal him in Jesus' name. Make him whole. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. I think that's all the stuff that I needed to cover. Amen. Today is Mother's Day, and so I wanted to bring to you a Mother's Day thought, and you know, the only one that seems like us preachers know is Proverbs 31, so we always preach on the virtuous woman, and I was just determined not to do that. So what's the next best thing? Chicken soup of the soul. So so this sermon, I'm not really coming out of the chicken book of the soul, but this sermon may seem like it a little bit, but I entitled this, and there's no PowerPoint or anything today, so you can just listen. Honestly, you know, most of the time when I preach, I love just to inundate you with scripture. It's just not a lot of scripture in the form that you would think. There's a lot of scripture in this sermon, but not the way maybe you would think of it. I can remember as a kid, nothing was ever as fun or as encouraging as when people would read a story to me. Do you remember that? When you were kids, I can remember even in grade school when the teacher would set all the class down and just read to us. I just loved that. And all my life growing up, if I could just read stories about people's lives, it just always encouraged me so much. So that's the thought that I wanted to bring to you today, is how God has used women throughout history to complete his will. And unfortunately, some people think that God is chauvinistic, and that's just so untrue. Joel told us in the last days that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. But even before that, God was using women. So God used women mightily all through the scriptures and down through history. So I just sort of wanted us to look at some stories that we know of people that have lived in possibly in our lifetime, and we know these stories. But I want us to start off in James chapter 5, in verse 16. He says, "Confess your faults to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed." Now, this is the part that I want you to get. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that just means human, of a righteous man avails much. And then he goes on and gives us a little example. He says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months." Father God, I just come before you today, and I thank you, Lord, It's always a wonderful thing to gather in the house of God, to know that your presence is here, your spirit is here. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch every heart. I pray every mother, Lord, would feel your touch, your compassion, your love towards them today as they are encouraged. Lord, I just pray, Spirit of God, you know the needs of these people. I don't know it, but you know the needs of every person. And I pray, Lord, that you would just penetrate their heart and touch them. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, the Bible says that Jesus sits on the Father's right hand, makes intercession for us. Do you know how many millions of Christians there are? He must really be jabberjaws, don't you think? Jesus must be some. Hey, you need to know about this, and you need to know about that. Hey, can I tell you about this? Is that the way you see it in your mind? Have you ever thought that maybe the way Jesus makes intercession for us might be through us? That he actually puts the thoughts in our hearts so that we pray them ourselves? So he's not just sitting there jabbering constantly to God, but he's jabbering and he's talking to us. So he's directing our steps. He's leading and guiding us internally so that we pray and we say the right thing and pray the will of God towards ourselves. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your prayer, listen to me, child of God, your prayer matters. We have this philosophy in church, and I don't know where we got it, that, hey, we need to better call up the preacher and let him pray for us. I'll be glad to, but why? Your prayer matters. You know what I want to do? Every time someone gets saved, I want them to pray for me. Because I've got a feeling that they just got a little special connection to God at that moment. It's like God really listens to that new person that just got saved, and they could ask for a dog with spots, and it's like a dog with spots shows up at their house. And I'm just like, hey, would you pray for me? give me. Do what you can here, would you? God listens to you. God hears your prayer. They are not worthless. You know, so many of us go through the same thing. That's sort of what I wanted us to talk about. Some of the feelings that we have and how God wants to work through those feelings. There's a very special lady to me in the woman of Mother Teresa. She is one of my all-time favorite people in the world. I love how this 90-pound shell of a woman dedicated every ounce of her being to the kingdom of God. She loved people. She went into the lepers. She went into people that everybody else would say, don't go there. That's contagious. And she poured her life out to the point that she refused to go back. You know, every once in a while as a missionary, now she was Catholic. I don't know how the Catholic Church works. But can I say God used the Catholics? And God does use the Catholics. And God used that woman to change the world. And as I studied that, and she went to Calcutta, India, and man, she just loved those people and the people are starving, the worst off in the world. She just gathered them together and loved them. And brought attention to a part of the world that many of us didn't know was there. And just recently I heard that the Assemblies of God was there too. See, there back in the 50s, there was a couple by the name of Butane. I believe it was Butane, right? Butane. And they went to Calcutta at the same time. They actually knew Mother Teresa. They were there together and they actually worked in collaboration, from what I'm told. A few weeks ago, we took up an offering for that ministry that's still going on. Even though that was 60 years ago and Brother Butane is with the Lord, and Hilda is like in her 90s, but still going strong. But they started Mercy Ministries, and they tell me that when you go through Calcutta, you'll see so many things that this couple started for the glory of God. Now, I've never met the Bentaynes, but you know, I've got a feeling that they're people just like you and me. That they're people that probably did not see their worth. They probably didn't see that they were something special. See, I think those that God uses the greatest many times don't see it. God doesn't, I mean, they don't see that, hey, God is mightily using me, but He is. God is touching people through those that many times don't even know it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, there was a young woman one time that was dealing with infertility. It seemed like everybody around her was having babies, but she couldn't. As hard as they wanted and tried and wanted to have children, her husband loved her so much and he wanted to give her everything that she wanted, she couldn't have kids. She was just bombarded by some people who were not kind to her and spoke ugly to her and just would use this as just as they knew there was a sore spot, so they'd just hammer her with that. But this lady went before the Lord in her pain. She cried out to God. She said, "God, give me a baby." And she said, "If you will, I will dedicate him to you." A year later, that lady had a child. See, that lady was Hannah, and that son was Samuel. And God honored a prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2 of a woman who probably felt forgotten by God. She probably felt worthless, but she wasn't worthless. God loved her, and God heard her. There was another lady, a widow one time, living in the depression, in a time of depression. Everybody was suffering in that day, but this widow seemed to have it especially rough. She was down to her last resources. And God speaks to her and says, "I want you to do something different. I want you to give your last resources away." I can imagine that was rough. I can imagine she thought in her mind, that can't be you, God. You know what I have left. This may very well be the very last meal that I provide for my son. Her husband was already gone. She was the provider at this point. I am sure she felt very helpless and incompetent. You ever had feelings of incompetency? Like, why can't I do better? And all of a sudden, wouldn't you know, it'd be a preacher. A preacher comes to town, and they're all starving. He says, "Fix me a chicken dinner first." She said, "Man, the chickens died 3 years ago. All we got is cornbread." See, God had spoke to her first. Many times we don't miss that. But when the man of God spoke to her, she did it. She may not agree with it, but she followed suit. You know, God not only provided for her that day, but God provided for her continually until the drought was over. That little lady is called the widow of Zarephath, and that's found in 1 Kings chapter 17. There's another woman who was a very prominent woman. She was a judge. Her name was Deborah. And Deborah served the people as a judge and loved the people. There was a time coming when she knew that there was war brooding, that Israel's going to have to go to war. And so she starts calling people to battle. She starts saying, "Get ready, it's coming, and you need to lead it." And the mighty men of God said, "Not me. If you think we need to go to battle, you lead it." Women don't lead in battle, not in Israel's day. She's a judge, not a general. But she says, "Okay, I will. And we will win the battle." Do you understand how women have changed the kingdom? women have changed the kingdom of God. Women have promoted the kingdom. Deborah says, that's fine. I will lead in battle, but I want you to know the accolades that come with the victory will go to a woman and not with you, Barak. So she leads in the battle, and God gives them the victory. I'm sure that she was very frustrated with men. Now, there's probably not another woman in the place who knows what it's like to be frustrated with a man, right? You don't know those feelings. I'm glad. I'm just so thankful that you don't know the frustrations of dealing with men. But occasionally it happens. And I want you to know God hears your prayer. There are so many women, mothers, leading their families spiritually today. You see, that's not really the way God planned it, but God will use it. God wants, if we have a problem in America today, it's not economics, it's not even political, it's fatherlessness. We have a severe problem with fatherlessness in this nation. And if the men would step forward, you would begin to see a change in direction. But we're not there. So what has happened? Many women, many mothers have stepped forward to lead their families, and God has honored it. There was a little girl that was orphaned one time. Her uncle took her in, and all of a sudden she won a beauty contest. And she went from being a nobody to a somebody overnight, seemingly. Now, the beauty contest actually took quite a few months. But seemingly, one day she's a nobody. In other words, no one would know her. And then the next day, everybody knew her. And then it come to what the devil seems to do best. And that seems to be attacking the Jews and trying to totally annihilate them. And she was a Jew, but no one knew it. And her uncle told her, he said, you've got to step forward. You've got to do something about this. And he says something very beautiful. He says, for such a time as this, you have come into this kingdom. I love those words. I think most of us live our lives, it's like we live our life on autopilot. It's like we click it in drive and we just go through our day. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? We just go through the motions. I'm at work. I'm at home. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm asleep. I'm back to work. I'm back. And all of life just seems to be very mundane as we go through the motions of life. And we never stop to realize, for such a time as this, you have come into the kingdom. I believe that all of our life's experiences leads us to a point where God wants to use us. And that's what happened to this little orphan girl called Esther. She had to step out of her comfort zone. Let me say it this way. She had to risk everything she had gained for the help of someone else. I don't want to, Uncle. I don't want to risk what I've got. I'm the queen. I don't want to tell him I'm Jewish. I don't want to put my neck on the line for people that sort of rejected me. They don't even know who I am. They don't know I'm Jewish. Why should I risk what I have for them? Doesn't that sound like a prayer that Jesus probably prayed in the garden? Why should I risk what I have for a people that's already rejected me? I got an answer for you. And the answer to that question is called love. It's because he loved you that he gave it all. Everything he had, his reputation, everything he had, he laid it down for people. But Esther did the same thing. You know what the end of the story is? Only to have it returned to her. She risked everything, but it all come back to her. She was elevated probably to a higher position than she'd ever had. Isn't that funny? Because that sounds a whole lot like Jesus. Everything he risked, as he laid it down, God gave it back to a higher position. Right? He is our Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. You ever think that maybe God would do that in your life? I think every mother in this place lives probably the most unselfish lives of anyone on the earth. They're constantly giving. My daughter-in-law, I don't know if she's awake right now. She doesn't get to sleep much. Skinnier than I've ever seen her. Because of that beautiful grandson that we've got, Grayson. That kid's a wonderful baby, but he doesn't like to sleep. And you know babies, if they don't sleep, you don't sleep. And 6 months old, and he still gets up every 2 to 3 hours. And she right there with him the whole time. I know that's a sacrifice. My heart hurts for them to go through that. But you know what? There are going to be sacrifices all along the way. All along the way. I told Treva, as we sat through about a 4-hour graduation Saturday, I said, I don't think I've ever sacrificed so much for my son as right now. This is the extreme for me. But God gave her everything back. She was willing to lay it down. I think this one will really come close to home for some of you. There was a woman who was married to a non-believer. She had children. She was a mother. And she wanted so badly for her son to have the faith that she had. But she realized how difficult that was going to be, because a son usually tends to go towards his dad. I don't know, it doesn't say much about her in the scripture. I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Her name was Eunice. Her son's name was Timothy. I don't know what Eunice did, but I'll tell you something. She did something right. Because Paul later on says, you have the faith of your mother and your grandmother. They have passed the faith along. See, the dad was Greek. He was a non-believer. I'm sure many times she felt like, this is too great of a challenge for me. I can't do this. There's no way that I'm going to be able to train up a godly man when his daddy is not godly and doesn't believe anything like I believe. Timothy later on went on to lead the fastest growing church in the known time in that region. It's the fastest growing church, the church at Ephesus. And he was the pastor. And many times Paul would come along and say, Timothy, don't be afraid. Stand up, buddy. You've got the faith that your grandma and your mama passed down to you. You may be a mother here today that's going it alone. We have lots of mamas that are by themselves raising their children for many different reasons. And I just want to tell you that God will hear your prayer. God heard Lois's, and God honored her prayer and raised up a godly man. There was an elderly widow one time who was at the end of her life, and through her whole life, she had only been married a very short time, and about 7 years of her life she was married. And other than that, she was a widow. And she dedicated her life serving God. Her name was Anna. The story is found in Luke chapter 2. And Anna was wanting to see something before she passed away. She wanted to see the Christ child, the anointed, the Messiah. And one day, in comes Joseph and Mary to have the child circumcised on the eighth day. I believe that was the occasion. And Anna walks into the temple. Nobody told her this is the Christ child. But when she saw Jesus, she knew immediately, this is it. I am now ready to be received by the Lord. She lived her whole life pleasing the Lord. Had one desire, and God gave it to her. You may see yourself as worthless. You may see yourself as insignificant. You may see yourself as fighting an uphill battle. But what you probably don't see is who's on your side. Who is directing your prayer? Who's putting thoughts in your mind saying, pray this, speak this, let these words come out of your mouth. Who is leading your steps in this battle? It's Jesus making intercession. You see, the prayer of a righteous woman avails much. I had a righteous woman in my life. I've actually had two. With my wife being one. I'm going to stump you there. My mother was a great Christian woman. My dad was a drunk. He didn't have much good to say about anybody. He was a mean man. I'm so thankful that my mother passed her faith down. Are you passing yours down to the next generation? You can pass a lot of things down, ladies. You can pass down your cooking tips, how to do so many different things. There is nothing more important on this earth than the past, the heritage of being a child of God, down to your children. Pass your faith down. Make sure that your children walk in the same faith, believing God like you believe God. Can I say, God will hear your prayer. God will honor the prayer of the righteous woman. It avails much. Growing up Pentecostal, years ago, Brother Bud, you'd probably testify to this. There wasn't a whole lot of men in the church, were there? There's a lot of women. That's right. Started by women. And we'd go to the altar and you'd hear the women pray. You wouldn't even see the men up there, rarely, except the preacher. But the women would pray. I'm telling you, it's women that have promoted this gospel, by and large. So, I guess I just come to say, well done, ladies. Well done, mamas. It's not been easy. I know it's not been easy. You have lived a life of sacrifice. You have nurtured when you didn't want to give anymore. I was so tired the other day and we were cooking all this food. And I'm pretty sure that every dish in our house was dirty. And we don't even have countertops right now. So I've got boards sitting on my cabinets. But every board had dishes piled up everywhere. And it was 1 o'clock Friday night when we were finally going to bed. And I looked at all those dishes and I thought, Treva, do it. I went to bed. Thank you, Jesus. I got up the next morning. I walked in the kitchen. And I thought, oh, Treva didn't do it. I'm so spoiled. I'm so used to her picking up the slack. Because 34 years, that's what she's done. Everything that's needed to be done. And I think she's a wonderful, wonderful mama. But I'll guarantee you, there's most everybody else knows the same song and dance. We even got sayings about it, right? A man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Is that right? Is that the right saying? It's true. I mean, they constantly, you know, I believe that the Bible says that we're made in the image of God. male and female made him, made them. And I believe that both of us are made in the image of God. See, I believe that the women represent the nurturing side of God. Thank God for mamas. Men, if we had to have babies, we would be extinct. Right? I might have one because I didn't know it. But there would be no number two, I can guarantee you. No, thank you. I can even remember I was in the room with the first one and I thought, oh, dear God, that looks painful. And it was. And what do? They endure the pain so that they can hold that greasy, slimy little baby. She held Matt up. You know what the first thing that little guy did to her? He peed on her. She said, "You rat." I know this is an unusual sermon. I just come to encourage you. All I did is come to encourage you. Every story that I talked about is found in the scripture of a woman who changed the kingdom for such a time as this. You have no clue of your importance. I guarantee you, you don't see it. Last week and a half has been a tough week for us. Your love could not have been more timely to us. It's precious, and I thank you for it. I hope that God refreshes you today so that you feel the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to accomplish what God has called you to do. Amen. Stand with me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, can I just ask you, did you need to know that Jesus hears your prayer today, that God loves you, and the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous woman avails much? You are not forgotten. You are loved with an everlasting love. You are important to the kingdom more than you will ever know. So I just bless you as your pastor. I just bless you. And I pray the Spirit of God takes this sermon, these very simple thoughts, and drives them deep into your heart so that it would bring great encouragement. Encouragement is like watering to our soul. It's just, it's what we need. It's oxygen to us. Father God, I pray for these people, especially for the mamas. And I just ask, Lord, for a refreshing move of the Holy Ghost in their lives. I pray that they would feel your spirit of love and encouragement. I pray that they would know that they're important to the kingdom. That they would know that you hear their prayer when they cry out to you. Father, Lord, they may be the single mom or they may be the widow today. Lord, not knowing exactly how they're going to make it any longer. But I hope and know that they know, Lord, that you hear their cry. And that you will supply their every need, that they're special to you. Father, it may be that there's some Queen Esthers in this place today that don't realize that the culmination of their life is right now. God has brought them to this point. He's brought every experience, every bit of wisdom and knowledge that He has placed in their mind is for this moment so they can stand against uneven sides, uneven oppression that may come against them. Let them stand. Father God, I pray for your strength and your ability for the widow here today that may still be grieving. I pray, Lord, come alongside. Be a husband. Be a lover. For the single mom, be that father figure for her children. She wants so badly for her children to know a godly man. Be the godly father for her. Lord, for each and every one of them, be their strength, be their source, be their God. Father, I pray for my sister Edith. How I love that woman. What an unusually bright and funny, compassionate lady that has endured so much hardship in her life. But still, you see the joy of the Lord in her life. I know her heart is broken today. And I just pray, let the Spirit of God surround her heart. Let her know the peace that passes all understanding. Touch her and be with her today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.